cliffcentral.com.
That is the entire intro song. If you ever wanted to listen to the whole thing, there you go. A little treat for your Monday.
Oh, good. Good start.
That's what happens, Mubs. When you're given the reins, you've got to make it count. So Gareth is not here this morning. You would have worked out from last week that he is in transit in America. He's basically in the Western Hemisphere of the Earth. Michael, we're not having him, huh?
It doesn't look like that. I'm battling to get through.
Okay, well, rather this than in life in general.
Morning, do we know why he's away? I mean, can you know, he kind of mentioned it last week, but I've forgotten already.
Look, basically what's happened is Gareth's actually in the Panama Papers, but deep in the Panama Papers.
Oh,
so he's using this as a ruse.
Right.
Ruse to go over there, clear his name, cash in some checks.
Sure.
So guys, he might not come back.
You know, you think you know someone.
Yeah, you think you know someone. Gareth's actually a secret multi-billionaire. This is the last you've ever seen of him. So it's been good. We're taking names for the new station, Something Central. It could be you, but Gareth is gone. So
yeah.
We've had a good run, I guess.
Look, you know, these things happen. When this kind of change takes place, you need to just, you know, get over it as quickly as possible. And we should probably all help each other in forgetting Gareth.
Well, it's all right. We've got a good team anyway, Mubs. There's you.
Yeah.
There's Michael.
Yes.
Yes, we've got Bashida here as well.
Hi.
Morning. Happy Monday. Michael, so let's get the weekend wrap up. What went down?
Sure. Celebrity gossip galore, guys.
I thought we'd get straight into this because we often just forget. We are so caught up in our own lives. Michael's weekend wrap up is just sitting there, smoldering.
Mm. Yep.
Calvin Harris was involved in a car crash.
Oh, gosh.
A 16-year-old in a VW smashed into his big SUV, and the passenger in the VW actually went flying through the windshield. It was such a hard impact.
Yeah, I was about to say that on paper, Calvin Harris was going to be okay there.
Calvin cancelled all his appearances that he had for that night and the next night. He was rushed to a hospital, but had to leave that hospital because they didn't have a private room for him. So he went to another hospital. But at the moment, he's doing okay. He didn't sustain any major injuries.
Okay, and this kid, is he just overs, huh?
They say the kid's actually recovering in hospital.
Not in a private room?
No.
Now, you see, here's the thing. If Calvin Harris's injuries were so serious that, you know, he had to have, like, serious operations done on him, it wouldn't matter that he didn't have a private room. It would be about saving his life.
Yeah.
So, could he not just stick it out?
Celebrities need their private rooms.
Well, Bob, see, the thing is now, I'm just making this up completely, but what if he's in a private room, in a non-private room, and the person next to him is from, like, the National Enquirer? Or is like a stalker.
Okay. Or is Michael Flax.
Yeah.
Sure, so taking pictures.
Medical, you know, details become quite sensitive.
All right, okay, sorry.
And then before you know it, you're all over the news with a small penis.
All right, okay. I see your point.
Floyd Mayweather threw a party for his 16-year-old daughter. Her name is, she had a weird name, like Iyana. Iyana?
Yeah, but that's because he can't spell.
So anyway, he spent $1 million on the 16-year-old's birthday bash.
Only $1 million? How cheap.
Mm. It started with a barbecue and then went into a ballroom Vegas sort of style with performers, Drake, Future. Her birthday present was a G-Wagon. She had birthday wishes from Justin Bieber. Who blows $1 million on a 16-year-old's birthday party?
Michael, you do realize that Floyd Mayweather gave $1 million to the person who beat Conor McGregor because he hates Conor McGregor so much.
You know how much $1 million is? What's that? That's 10 million rand, no?
Well, it's more than 10 million rand because of our exchange rate. Holy, but I mean,
times about 15 almost.
This sounds like one of those 16-year-old birthday parties that they have on reality television. I was just going
to
ask.
Yeah, that's did her
birthday.
16,
yes. Yeah. Did her birthday party end up on a reality television show? Because
probably.
It sounds exactly like those birthday parties. They get a car, they get some celebrity who pitches up, all their little friends are there to see them being rich and great, and then everybody goes home, and a lot of money gets spent.
Is that like yours, Mubs?
Oh, no.
It wasn't your Super 16.
I didn't have a Super 16.
Me either.
Here we don't celebrate 16. Here we celebrate 18 years.
Yeah, when you got so much money, you need more milestones, though. I can't remember actually turning 16. I think my parents said, why aren't you out the house yet?
I don't remember a damn thing from my 16th birthday party.
Okay, Michael, so we got celebs car crashing. We got celebs splashing on birthdays. What else happened on the weekend?
Now, this confuses me. So you guys know Tiger broke up with Kylie Jenner.
Yes.
And that was about a week ago. Now Tiger's reportedly dating this 21-year-old British lingerie model. Her name is Demi Rose. Now, she looks exactly like Kylie Jenner.
Do they all make up their own names, these people? Amber Rose, Jelly Rose.
Yeah, because, you know, if you become...
Tiger Cat.
If you become a big-time celebrity, you can't just have a normal name. That's boring. So you've got to have names like that.
How do you go and a week after dating someone seriously, go date somebody else that looks exactly like them? Spot on, mirror for mirror image.
Michael, I'll say the same thing to you now as I said to you last week. These people's lives aren't real. This is the really knockoff cheap version of the Truman Show. That is why when they date someone new, it's just a recast. So they've got the same role. So the names are kind of similar. I mean, like, you never see them dating someone called Hillary Swanson or something like that. It's always Amber Rose or Tuscan Sky or Gold Bar Bullion or something.
Moon Blood Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know, I read a fact.
Same here.
I read a fact that when you break up with someone, it takes a year for you to get over them. That's why you should be single for, like, a full year, not a week like Tiger.
I don't think that there is a standardized time for how long it takes for people to get over other people. That's purely dependent on how serious the relationship was.
Duration.
And also just how quickly you want to get over it. I mean, some people like to wallow in, oh, I miss him. But then other people realize that, you know what, he's not coming back. Mm. On to the next one.
Exactly. A better one.
Yeah.
Talking about breakups, you remember Charlize Theron and Sean Penn?
Yes, real people.
So, I don't remember why they broke up, but there's a ton of awkwardness now because they're in a movie together, The Last Face. So, they're now doing the PR and the publicity and the events together. And they were caught doing an awkward hug over the weekend. Anyone remember why they broke up?
I think it was because Sean Penn was like The Last Face. Like, that is not a good-looking man. He really isn't.
Yeah, Charlize could do better than Sean Penn.
Charlize used to do better in Boxburg on like a Friday night than Sean Penn.
I don't remember why they broke up.
It's one of those things that like he was quite possessive or something like that. And I think, I don't know, I'm making this up. Michael, is there anything from the weekend wrap-up that's not completely celebrity hot-head?
Well, I kept one for the last one, which I know is going to put a smile on your face.
Wonderful. What's happening?
So, over the weekend, Kim Kardashian missed her period, and she thought she was pregnant. So, as soon as she landed off a private jet, she took a pregnancy test. And this is where you're going to...
So, Pashita, how's your weekend?
My weekend was just fabulous.
Okay, very good.
Spent it indoors with my husband.
Ooh, nice. Watching DVDs, watching
No,
Netflix.
I planned a romantic dinner.
Oh, sweet.
Are you generally the one that goes the romantic route, or do you guys share it a bit?
I'm more of a once in a blue moon, like when I surprise you. He's the one who always plans something.
Mm. Well, gosh. Well, now we've just seen a new side of Pursuit we did not see last week.
Yeah.
Mavs, how was your weekend?
Well, I was in Cape Town on Friday and flew back on Saturday.
Okay, so did you find a verdict in the front door case?
No, I did not.
Was that not the reason you went?
No, that's actually not the reason we went.
I live in hope.
Huisgenoot, which is part of U Magazine,
yep.
They were celebrating their 100th birthday. So they basically flew the entire Joburg team to Cape Town and we just kind of got to know each other a little better. And that's what it was about.
And did you get to meet Minky?
No, I did not. I didn't. Is she in Cape Town? Is that where she's based now? No.
Well, I think so. But I mean, surely if it's going to be a Haskinur at Scorp, then they would have invited her in a panty.
No. Because it was purely a work thing. So no famous people were there.
Oh, what a letdown. If I was going to a Haskinur thing, I would have demanded Minky and panty. Or at least a flow of it for a boer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I did a bit of that over the weekend, and then just chilled yesterday.
Okay, well, if you're wondering why Gareth's not here, yeah, he is coming back, I promise. We already had a new name suggestion for what Cliff Central should be called. Mm-hmm. It is Radio McRadio Face, which, well, Raynant's, you know, an oldie's a goodie, I guess, huh?
Well.
So Gareth, he left on Saturday, and he flew to Amsterdam, and then he flew to America, and we haven't heard from him since. I don't mean that in a bad sense. She's got to be careful. You talk about air travel nowadays. Huh? But yeah, he's going to be away until next Wednesday. So he's meeting all the top brass, the big knobs of Silicon Valley. So all the people who have changed our lives with regards to Google, Facebook, all the people who basically dictate how we spend our lives on social media and the internet. So we'll be checking in with him. Michael, still no word from him.
No word yet. Still, I think the time zones is affecting. He might like be in transit at the moment, like in a car or something.
Yeah, look, when you go from here to San Francisco, it's basically, there's days. It is very, very far. We'll be checking in with him when he's available. But we've got an action-packed day, as always, from Monday. We've got Rich Mulholland coming in. We've got Anthea Gardner with the finance. Anthea sent through some information last night. It was quite funny because, obviously, when Gareth's here, he just picks us all up and they chat and chinwag. And Mubs and I, well, we just, you know, smile and nod. But because we're hosting the show now, she sends through the prep and it starts off saying, positive week, all except gold was higher. And then after that, it's nothing but negative crap. This one's down, that one's down. So we'll get her to elaborate a bit more on that. But I got to tell you about my weekend, Mubs.
Yeah.
It was so wonderlijk. So special. Like, you know.
Wonderlijk.
Yeah, it's prachtig. It's stierkend. So it's got me using Afrikaans words. Is that good?
It's weird.
Like, as you know, I love golf a lot, and I love this country, all different places. So I went to this place, Legend, in Limpopo.
Okay.
It was actually a tech gathering. It's the first time I've ever gone to a tech event.
How did you end up there?
I don't know. I got invited.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was for the new Sony phone. So, like, amazing. There is so much tech. And I want to bring this up again when Gareth's here, because I know he's going to come back from the States with all this other tech information. But I learned about these gadgets, which were incredible, like are going to change everything around cell phones. So for the first time, a manufacturer is saying, perhaps don't look at your phone every 2 minutes. And they've got all these little gadgets that take you away from that so you can experience life and interact with life. That sounds quite cryptic, but I will tell you more when Gareth gets back.
Did this tech gathering remind you how crap the iPhone actually is compared to Android, Ben? Were you brought back to your senses?
Wow, you just prompted me to the next point. The amount of flack I got for having the, as they said, the food icon device.
Yes.
But yeah, look, we all know. I mean, and Greg, our big tech guy here, he's the first guy to say, I love all Apple products, but Android phones are better.
Yes. And Greg knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. Anyway, so it was a shame. I mean, I could just hear bells ringing when I pulled my phone out on the table. Like, everyone's looking at you going...
Embarrassing.
But it was so cool. I got to go on the helicopter up to the Extreme 19th. We hit off the mountain.
You got onto a helicopter?
Yeah, it was the most crazy Jeepers. Round of golf. Okay, so we played 9 holes. It was me, my mate Daryl, superstar DJ Rob Forbes.
Yeah.
Look at me name drop the crap out of that.
Huh? Now you've made it.
And then after halfway, we played a couple of holes, and then literally the helicopter came down to the golf course, picked us up, took us to the top of this mountain, and then if you go into my Instagram account on The Bounce, you'll see all the pics and the videos. And you stand up there, and it is one of the most nerve-wracking things ever, because literally you're 430 meters up, and then you've got your little tee where you put the ball in and you aim for the green. The green is all the way down at the bottom, but it's far, okay? And it's in the shape of the African continent. So it's this ginormous green.
Yeah.
So there's a guy at the top of the walkie-talkie, and he's going, okay, Hannes, G6. And then all your balls are numbered, so you know exactly where it is. And then Hannes is standing down there going, okay, go. And then you slot on the ball. But the thing is, you're up in this cliff face, so you can't really follow through out of fear of sheer death.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult, the ball, and it's very windy up there. But it was so rad. And then they take you on the helicopter, you dive down like Airwolf, and then you finish your round of golf.
Did it feel a bit like you were getting an experience of what it would be like to be on the set of Entourage? Because that's all. It was that, I mean, yeah. It's very, You know, it's very pimped up stuff. You get onto a helicopter, you play a round of golf, you're hanging out with celebrities.
Yeah, it's it was so cool. And then they had night golf, and then the Parlatones played, and I made new friends. I don't make friends, Mavs.
No, you don't. You're an awkward one.
Yeah, so such a super amazing weekend. And came home to Miaz's, and she was happy to see me. And now Daniel has gone away. So all kinds of things happening.
Sure. Good one. Good weekend.
But, Michael, is there anything else we need to look out for today? Another person just asked us on WeChat where Sia is. I don't actually have an answer where Sia is. He's not with Oprah. I think he's in KZN.
He's in Durban.
Because he was in Cape Town, he's in KZN.
Oh, now he's in Durban on vacation.
He's in Durban, yeah. He's, you know, he's planned his leave around this time, so that's what this is all about.
Okay, so there's no Sangwini Finn. There's no
He'll be back on Thursday or Friday.
Exactly. So we'll have a full team next week sometime. But let's not dwell on who's not here. Let's dwell on who is here. And one of them is Mbali Moloi, and she will tell you exactly what's happening on Cliff Central today. What is happening, Mavs?
Okay, so you did mention that we've got Anthea joining us this morning.
Yes.
She comes in on a Monday. It's good to see her with the money shot. We're hoping that Rich Mulholland will also be joining us for the reality check. And then at 8 o'clock this morning, Gareth got an opportunity to sit down with Forbes Africa's managing editor, Chris Bishop. So that's the interview that we've got lined up for you. 9 o'clock, Jittery Citizens with Claudine Ullman and team. The fundamentals in order
Jittery citizens.
The jittery citizens.
Are these people who are coming out from a sugar rage or what?
Either that or they've got some kind of medical condition, Ben, that we can't, you know, point out and make fun of them for because that's just not politically correct. In order to improvise like a pro, one needs to apply the fundamental principles of improvisation.
Oh.
The jittery citizens explain how to also apply these to your life and to make it awesome.
So you think on your feet, basically, and you can perform at a drop of a hat.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes. And then at 10 o'clock is the Bounce Show.
Oh, this show's amazing.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't you tell us what you've got lined up for today?
This is your feature. I don't want to, you know, get on your time here.
Okay. Well, you know what? We're catching up on all the sport that went down over the weekend. I saw a lot of Man United talk on Twitter, so I'm assuming there's going to be a bit of that.
Yeah.
Ben also talks to Keegan Kruger from Africa's number one sports blog.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
The pundits for a wrap up of the International League and Cup seasons. Yeah. Dan is back with the what sport feature?
The Conquer Sport.
The Conquer Sport feature. And this week's discussion is all about pressure in sport. Is it a myth? No, it's real.
Yeah, the Blitzbox really cocked it up yesterday. Again, pressure getting the better of them. So we're having a full discussion around, is pressure a myth or is it something that's just all-consuming for some teams? There's some great research that went into that piece, so don't miss that.
All right. Then at 11 o'clock is Young, Wild and Free with Manqoba Ngubo, brought to you by Versailles. Join Manqoba as he deals with young people who are making waves in their respective industries and delves into the issues affecting today's youth. Then from 12 to 3 is the Leadership Platform with Adrian Groenewald and team. Again, you know, just 3 hours of jam-packed stuff. It's all about being motivated and inspired. It's all about hearing, you know, leaders, you know, people in leadership positions, basically drawing the line in terms of the difference between their success and what the rest of us are trying to achieve. So that will be between 12 and 3. And then at 3 o'clock is Futurology with the Bretts, Brett Levy and Brett Lindsay.
Ah, so now I can have a tech chat with these guys on the back of my tech knowledge that I have from the weekend.
And today the Bretts talk to Ross Maines Sheard, who is founder of Versify.
Ross Maines Sheard?
Yeah. Ross Maines Sheard.
That is a very interesting name.
Founder of Versify, a web portal to help customers find service providers without having to look. And then from 4 to 6 is Kalman on Cliff Central with Aria Kalman.
Right, Mavs. Well, before we get into the sports, I have to bring this up because over the weekend, something really, really pissed me off. And it was the metered taxis versus Uber. This really grinds my nuts. It really is. Like someone said on Twitter, this is like the DVD store trying to fight with Netflix.
And this has been a global problem. These kinds of protests we've seen all over the world. So Uber not being welcomed by the meter taxi industry, and this is not just in our country.
Yeah, so shots were fired. I mean, literally, if you see on social media, one of the Uber cars was completely just, I mean, like 10 shots or something.
Oh, dear.
And it's just, It's so frustrating in this country, and I don't want to get into too much of a rant because it is early, it is Monday, and we're just kind of easing into it. But there's like this obsession in this country that if you don't like something, you must fight it, or you must try to destroy it, or it must fall. It's just such crap. And Gareth brought this up a few times. Uber is now is doing such great things for this country, and this isn't a plug for them. This is just how we move around now. It's better, it's creating employment, and it's creating efficiency, and people will be able to do a lot more stuff. These meter taxis sitting there, these old, knocked off old 80s cars with these rather dubious looking individuals, and they think that they own the monopoly of getting people around. People want to use Uber. They choose it. They physically have it. It's technology. It's on their phones. It's safe. It's cheaper. They want to use it. So that is the choice of society. Now, these dickheads think that they can just shoot up the cars, that they can prevent them doing what we want. No one cares about these meter taxi people. They're not the slightest. They're like the scourge of the transport industry right now. And I know Anthea's got to put some more on this about the whole, the whole business of taxis, meter taxis, and how we get around nowadays. But it was just so inconvenient. So Friday, they had to close off major section around the Gautrain, right, here in Sandton. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the weekend, I didn't even know if they are even operating there. A message went out in the app that if you were looking to kind of catch a ride around there, it said, safety is obviously the paramount importance right now, so there'll be no taxis running in this area. I mean, like, can you imagine that? You come out of the Gautrain from the airport, which is a big thing here in Joburg. You know, this is the gateway of the country, basically. And because of these dickheads, you then had to make another plan. Worst of all, you might have had to actually use one of the meter taxis. That is the biggest tragedy here.
What I find problematic is, I've often heard the meter taxi drivers complaining that Uber has interfered with their livelihood and now they're finding it difficult to earn a living. But then when you are shooting up somebody else's vehicle, you are doing the exact same thing. You are interfering with that person's ability to earn an income, which you have no right to do.
And you're also committing a crime.
That's a given. That's an obvious one. But it's just, it's just annoying that some people think that it is okay to do that. It's a kind of hypocrisy and double standard that really just doesn't make sense to me.
It really is. And it's this loser mentality that if someone is better than you, then you must hate that person or you must destroy that person. No, get better. Do something else. Either join this new wave of how we get around or find something else. Use your head, use your initiative, do something better. Don't just think that you can then take someone out and use force. I just think it's, you see this around so many different other fields. It's not just this whole sort of transport war. It's not a war, but it's like this conflict that's coming up on the basis of that. It just shows there's something lacking in society where this is going to be the norm. This is how it happens.
Yeah, I mean, I remember there were a number of protests in Paris around Uber where basically we saw the exact same thing. Meter taxi drivers who were basically intimidating and terrorizing the Uber drivers. But the thing is, we're all trying to earn a living out here. Every single one of us is trying to get by somehow. You can't just decide that, you are going to get in the way of me doing that because you're unhappy with the way that it's working out for you. Every single one of us is struggling out here.
Yeah, it's like your boyfriend dumps you, so you go and murder his new girlfriend, or something like that. They're like, that's not rational behavior. That's not good. It's the same with this. Like, can you imagine? I don't know. It's something that really upset me over the weekend. And if you were in the area or you were compromised by this act of stupidity and just dickheadness, feel free to call us. Michael, what is the number people can get in touch with us?
0861-555-189.
Otherwise, of course, WeChat is up and running, going great guns here. The Cliff Central official account, get us on that. Otherwise, tweet us at Cliff Central. Got a big day ahead. We're going to get into the sport in a sec. We've got, wow, what a sporting weekend. I didn't watch a whole bunch of it live because I was away, but I've got a lot to recap with you. And then we've got Anthea like normal. We've got Rich Mulholland. And we might have Gareth popping in over the Skype. We're just going to play that one as it comes. He is, of course, in transit and a long way to get to San Francisco, where he'll be until next Wednesday, I think it is. It's a good trip, huh?
Yeah, it's not too bad. Silicon Valley, that's where it is.
But you guys know that we're getting proper presents this time around, huh?
No. What? Was there a promise made?
Well, again, common decency. he's got away for longer this time.
Yeah, but you know, rand exchange rate, that whole thing. I don't think that he should buy us anything.
He's being taken to this trip, Mubs.
Okay.
He's being treated like a tech king right now. He's been to all these places. Trust me, if he doesn't come back with good presents, wow, it's going to be an awkward show first back. Yeah.
Okay.
He's going to go, so what do you think about this? He'll be like, nah, nothing. So what do you, nothing.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
I know Gareth's listening right now, and he'll do the right thing.
It's back. Are you Jawsy Tough? Cycle through tunnels, over floating bridges, and into colossal stormwater drains. You're a machine, and nothing's going to stop you. With two separate routes, a 22K for beginners, or a 54K for the tougher riders. Go where no mountain biker has gone before. On the 29th of May, ride the Hollard Juma. Brought to you by AdReach and Joburg City Parks and Zoo. Challenge accepted. Juma.co.za.
Business leaders around the globe are committing to building a better world for everyone. CliffCentral.com is joining forces with the Sympathy Sleepout, taking a stand for the plight of the homeless. We invite you to participate with us in the Sympathy Sleepout on the 28th of July 2016. Join the ranks of leaders of change by using your influence for what truly matters. Sign up now for the Sympathy Sleepout on www.theceosleepoutza.co.za. That's theceosleepoutza.co.za.
Right, sport, here we go. Half past six in the morning. Welcome to it. Thanks for joining us. Great sporting weekend. And up and down for Man United. Well, maybe up and up, because they finally won something, which is a real big deal for them. Now, they were pretty useless in the league. They did not make the Champions League. They fell out of Europa. They fell out of the League Cup. They did nothing really all year, other than just basically awkward press conferences with Louis van Gaal saying, we're doing the right thing, we'll be turning around, everything will be okay. Well, van Gaal finally got a trophy. And he was quite cock-a-hoop about this. He said, I'm the first ever Man United manager to have a trophy after the Alex Ferguson era. And everyone was just going, oh, whatever, whatever. Anyway, so they beat Crystal Palace 2-1. They got the FA Cup.
Oh, okay.
But you know what this means, Mubs?
No.
He's still out of a job.
Has he definitely been fired?
Yeah, he even acknowledged it so much in the press conference. It's over. Jose Mourinho will now be the new coach of Man United. It's
okay.
Look, it hasn't been sworn in yet. He hasn't been seen as in the press conference just yet. But that's it. Louis van Gaal. He might stay in the system, though. This is the strange thing. Now, there's always conflicting reports that happen after these big things in sport, right? Mm. I mean, there's talk about Zlatan Ibrahimovic becoming an assistant coach / mentor person, player, I don't know what. He might get in the new Man United system. But one thing that is taking the sporting world by storm right now is the idea of Man United having Jose Mourinho. Now, we all know what happened with Mourinho this season. He took over, well, he got back to work at Chelsea. And the players were thought like, well, screw you. We don't want you here.
Oh, dear.
Diego Costa in particular, guys like Cesc Fabregas, they were all kind of ringleaders in this whole, I don't know, mutiny, you could say. And Chelsea, they sort of just forfeited a terrible season. They ended up mid-table, nothing going for them whatsoever. And Jose was put out his ass.
But why don't the players want Jose? I mean, didn't he have a good run with them at some point? Didn't he help Chelsea win stuff?
Yeah, and he is still, to this very moment, hence his new employment, one of the greatest managers in the game. But what happens in these situations sometimes, Mubs, is that you get a few people who've, I don't know, like a lot of these players are trumped up prima donnas, right? So they think they know best. And it's not like in the good old days when the manager would tell you what to do and you'd go and do it. Like, this is a really great documentary about the golden years of Man United and how Alex Ferguson took those youngsters from the academy, like Beckham and Scholes and Giggs and all those kind of guys. And together, they were invincible because they basically just, they followed in order from Alex downwards. Nowadays, people are like, oh, whatever. I've got Ferraris, I've got villas, I've got hoes, whatever. They've got all this money, all this power, and they're not always that obedient. Or just, you know, kind of on board with the whole game plan. So that's kind of what happened. He lost the dressing room. That's a sporting cliche around it. That's the official word and how you lose favor with your team. And that was unfortunately Jose's thing. But anyway, back he comes with Man United. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of money that they have on offer for Jose, because when the new manager comes in, he's going to get rid of players that he doesn't care for, and he's also then going to pick up new players that he needs to orchestrate his plans. So Man United is still very much in this rebuilding phase. After Alex Ferguson, there was David Moyes, and now Louis van Gaal. Both have been complete and utter failures. Now, they've gotten all the way. They're putting everything into Jose. Everything. Because if it doesn't work out, they are screwed.
And how do these players feel about Jose? Do we know?
Well, too early to tell, I guess.
Because he also has prima donna moments.
Oh, yeah.
This Jose Mourinho.
For sure.
Yeah.
Without doubt.
The special one, right?
Yeah. Self-proclaimed special one. Yeah. Well, he's now the employed one again. So we'll have more on that on the Bounce Show today. We've got Keegan Kruger. He's from The Pundit, Africa's number one sports blog, and he's a Man United fan, so he'll know all about this and a whole bunch more. Into other news from football from the weekend, it was the big relegation battle in the PSL, so this was Judgment Day. The top part of the whole table was decided, Sundowns were champions. Came down to Cosmos were on 25 points, Maritzburg were on 24, and Tux were on 22. Tux had the best goal difference of all of that, though, and I did mention it on Friday, and wow, it came back to be kind of vital. So Cosmos took on Maritzburg. Maritzburg 3-1 away, okay? Huge result. After beating Ajax the week before, they were safe. That's cool for them. Cosmos were then suddenly right at the bottom, along with Tux. So what they needed to do was Tux needed to win and get just improving their goal difference, because Cosmos were out of this. Tux won 2-1 against Golden Arrows. So Cosmos goes straight down into the National First Division, right? Maritzburg stay up. But now Tux goes into the playoff with Highlands Park and Umbombela United. Now, those two teams finish second and third, respectively, in the National First Division. So they're now going to this three-team playoff thing, which is really, really fun. It's not like the instant relegation and promotion like you have in other leagues. So that's going to be very interesting. Baraka FC, they won the National First Division. So they go straight up to the top flight. Bit of a sad story, though. Morocco Swallows got pumped 5-1 in their final game. That means they're now gone from the Premier League to the First Division, National First Division, and they're now into whatever's below that. No one even knows what's below that. It's basically just a whole bunch of guys on, like, dusty fields. It is such a massive drop. And these guys were top-flight footballers not so long ago. And the money involved there, the only people who are now going to look for new jobs, it really is a sad story. And if you are a Swallows fan, one of the original clubs in the country, the original Soweto Derby team. What a sad, sad day. Copa del Rey, that was the other big final from the weekend. There was German football as well, but outside of Bayern, who really cares? So the Copa del Rey is like the Spanish version of the FA Cup. And it was Sevilla, the UEFA champions, against the Barcelona, who are the Spanish champions. And it was quite an interesting match, because after 35 minutes, Barcelona were down to 10 men. They got a guy sent off, and it was advantage Sevilla, but they could not capitalize on that, and the game was a bit of a battle of attrition throughout. And Suarez had to go off with a hamstring injury, so Barcelona was stunted even further. But into extra time it went, 2 goals, Sevilla got another guy sent off, so 2-0 in the end there. So Barcelona, it's scant consolation for the fact they're not in the European Champions League final, which is taking place this weekend, but still, La Liga and Copa del Rey. Into rugby, it was, well, up and down. If your Super Rugby team did well, like the Lions did and the Sharks did, good weekend, same for the Bulls as well. But the London Sevens, we've got to touch on this. Now, I said today on the Bounce Show, there's going to be a really big discussion over pressure and the fact that there is so much of it in the sport. Although the guys from Conquer Sport, using the New York Yankees as a reference, are saying that pressure is actually something that we've created. Pressure is a contrived thing, and it shouldn't be affecting the players like it does. Because essentially all we're doing, right, is we're playing sport. No matter if you're hitting a ball now, or if you're hitting a ball another time in the match, you're still hitting a ball.
Interesting.
But we get under huge amounts of pressure because we assign huge importance to these different scenarios and stuff like that.
And also because those damn fans.
Yeah, these damn fans.
Have ridiculous expectations of athletes.
But nothing changes. You don't suddenly hit a smaller ball later in the day, or you say you don't get to use just one arm when it means more. You're still doing the exact same sporting task, right? Mm. So I'm looking forward to that discussion. But South Africa made it into the final, okay? So they beat Fiji in the Cup semi-final, the London Sevens. And when you go up against Scotland in the final, you kind of got one hand of the trophy. I'm not saying it to be arrogant. Scotland have never, ever won a cup final in the seven circuit. They invented sevens, but like most things in the island, all those guys invented the sport, but they've been crap at it ever since. And Bisbox got into a really good lead. They looked very, very comfortable. But then Scotland scored two tries in the final minutes. And there it was, maps 27-26. All season long, this Bisbox team has just failed to kick on. They somehow become very fragile in defense, and it was just heartbreaking. So there was no refs to blame here. There was no eight players in the field as opposed to seven. We couldn't blame anything. We couldn't even blame the hoodoo of playing against the All Blacks. This was just piss poor. Lack of composure, could not finish the job here. So another loss where it should have been a win. Like, this season is a whole bunch of what ifs, and it's the biggest year in sevens because it is the Olympics. And again, it's just so, so disappointing. Overall, Fiji then do hold on to win the entire series. So they go into the Olympics as number one seed and favorites. South Africa did cling on and they finished second. So then I go in second seed and New Zealand third. Like, New Zealand were playing with a second or third string team the whole way through. They still managed to hold on for third. Very disappointing for the Blitzbox. I gotta say, I had such high hopes because every other sporting code seems to be really going to the toilet right now. These guys were like our guys. This was it. This was our thing. Anyways, back to Super Rugby. Let's look at the weekend's results. Crusaders were very strong against the Waratahs. 29-10, they won at home. Reds, they beat the Sunwolves 35-25. The Chiefs were too strong for the Rebels, 36-15, I think it was. The Force, they went down to the Blues at home, 13-17. The Lions, they were far too strong for the Jaguars, 52-24. I think it was 8-2 in the end. And this is what's so cool about the Lions, is that other teams in SA, they dick around and they win by like 3, 4, 5, 6 points. The Lions, they throw out a proper opfokker. And then 52 points, huh? 8 tries. They were incredible in that second half. And yeah, these Jaguars, they go from bad to worse, really. Another team that's doing exactly the same, the Kings, they scored 0 points. The Sharks, they scored 53 points. That's a hammering in all forms of the game. And then what was a really boring game at halftime, the Bulls then pulled away from the Stormers in the second half, 17-13. They won the big North-South derby. But, Mubs, another thing that's really, really exciting for you, I'm sure, is the French Open started yesterday. Did you watch any of it?
No, I did not.
You're just easing into the big games. You're not going to watch this.
I'm not, you know,
scrap
I'm,
in the beginning.
There's very little time actually to watch, so I'm going to be counting heavily on you to just give me all the important bits that I need to know.
First up, that Kid Grios.
Oh.
He won. He shouted at the umpire. Some other girl won. Gael Monfils isn't playing.
Some other girl. What is you on? No, this is not you being professional. Some other girl won.
Well, it's the first round. I mean, basically, the first round of the French Open is just a whole bunch of Eastern European people just hitting things at each other, and then you get the big seeds filtering through. It's difficult. I don't know enough about tennis to care about the first round. I just got to say that right now.
Okay.
Federer's not there, as we mentioned last week. He's injured.
Yeah, he pulled out of this tournament.
Yeah. Okay, so that's all you need to know, really, at the moment. And I'm going to stick by that.
Is Maria Sharapova playing in this French Open?
No, she's still pending investigation and that kind of stuff.
But all right. I don't have to worry about hearing her screeching all over the court.
No, well, we said that Russian head of tennis, the federation, all that kind of stuff, he said she might have come back at all.
Hmm.
Yeah. So French Open's on. Yeah, the IPL's on. I think we get into a stage now where they might get into the playoffs, but no promises there. They might then have another 8 games for just shits and giggles. But something I do want to talk about is the cricket. Anthea has joined us in the studio today. Anthea, morning.
Good morning.
Hello. So cricket over the weekend, very disappointing one-sided test match, England versus Sri Lanka. And Sri Lanka took an enormous dicking here. Innings and 88 runs they lost by. They had the English on the ropes on the first session of the match, but then Johnny Bairstow, he's such an incredible player for this team, and he scored 140 in the end. England 298, and then Sri Lanka, they bowled out for 91, and they bowled out again for 119 in the follow-on. Just to give you an idea of how terrible this was, English batsman Alex Hale spent more time at the crease than the entire Sri Lankan team throughout the entire match. James Anderson got 10 wickets, which is infuriating considering he can only ever do that at home. And now, of course, England are saying he is the greatest bowler in the history of balls and right arms, which we all know isn't true. Anyway, good win there for England, and that's 1-0 up in the series. In golf news, Rory McIlroy won the Irish Open. He missed the cut last year. He's actually had a pretty dogshit record at this tournament for guys talented as he is. But going to that final round, he was leading, and then even though he did lose the lead to Scotsman Russell Knox in the second nine, He was just incredible. In 16, he powered a fairway wood to the green in the pond, par 5. Did the exact same thing for a tap-in eagle at 18, and he won by 3 in the end. And then Sergio Garcia, who would have thought it? I mean, Sergio Garcia is like the Proteas of golf. He managed to actually hold on and win something. He got himself into a playoff yesterday at the Byron Nelson with Brooks Koepka. Koepka was the one that actually then blitzboxed his way into the water, and Sergio Garcia with the win in the end. Final story, Mubs, and do you want to guess what the sport is?
Okay, hang on. We did say last week that you might start mentioning more of the obscure sports. So do you have something to tell us about synchronized swimming today?
Nope, absolutely bug roll about synchronized swimming, but the MotoGP, right?
Oh!
Okay, so Formula One, that 18-year-old guy won over the last round.
Is this your new love? Is this your new passion in life?
Wow. Okay, eyes opened to something that's really thrilling. So yep. Okay. I really love the fact that in the F1 last time round, that's Max Verstappen, he's 18, right?
Yeah.
And he won the biggest, to win a Formula One race is huge, absolutely amazing. So now the Italian MotoGP took a place over the weekend. And if you think F1 is at all slightly interesting, even with these nobodies winning it, MotoGP, that is it. There's more crashes, okay? There is more overtaking. There's so much happening because obviously it's bikes. They're very nimble. So the guys go in and out of corners and it's just incredible. Anyway, Lorenzo Marquez, right? These are the two top guys. Rossi, who's been going forever. He's 37. I think he's been riding these bikes since he was like 8. So got onto the final straight and Mark Marquez, real name, he was basically going to win it. The guy was about to put his hand to the crowd. And then Jorge Lorenzo, he beat him on the final. So it was almost like a photo finish. It was 0.0013. That was his winning margin. So if you want something exciting that's going to go right down to the death, I suggest picking up MotoGP. It made my weekend watching that race. And Marc Marquez, so unlucky. It was like having an open try line and then some guy comes from behind and tackles the ball out of you. But the big story for me on top of that, it gets better. Moto 3, right? So that's like the third division or whatever it is. Don't trust me on that. Okay. Brad Binder, SA guy, 3 races in a row. That's 3 out of 3. He's now 49 points clear on the world standings in Moto 3. His brother crashed out, but still, 3 out of 3 in a row. Moto GP, who would have thought?
Not me.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. What a weekend for that. Wow. Okay, I've got some messages here about that Uber thing, but we'll get to that after Anthea because it is time for
the money shot.
Hang on a second. Probably the highlight of the morning is about to happen right now. Wait for it. Here it comes. Most unattractive man you'd ever see with musical instruments, but that is your new song for the morning, Anthea.
What a win! Listen, it's going to be hard to follow all this MotoGP and Moto 3 excitement, I must say.
Did I come across as really sincere, though? Because people give me so much flack about not talking about motorsports and all this other kind of stuff.
Well, for the people who can't see you, you looked like a 6-year-old on Christmas Day, and your dad just said, look, all of these presents are for you.
I was genuinely enthused by that.
Yes, you were.
I'm going to watch that in the future.
Okay. Then I've never seen you that excited.
Okay. All right. Well, Anthea, just going through the prep that you sent through for the show, which we do appreciate. I've got to say, it sounds a bit bipolar. You said it was a positive week, but there was so much negative on the sheet.
Okay, that's fair enough. So the markets were positive. So all the indices closed higher. Resources was up 1%, financials 1.5%. Admittedly, the companies making the headlines were all negative news, though. That's the problem. So the market was good, but a lot of downside. I mean, just it was good, generally speaking. Okay.
Yeah, because you said that Richemont was going to start announcing some things. So that was the exciting thing that we had to look forward to for this week.
Oh, that was my worst. So on Friday, I did exactly what I always say not to do, and I had a knee-jerk reaction. So before the market opened on Friday, Richemont reported results. Shocking. Well, I mean, okay, so they sell...
Just give us a reminder of what that's made up of again.
So Richemont is your luxury goods company, Montblanc, IWG, they own Net-a-Porter, Yoox, they own jewelry and jewelry and watches. That's their thing, luxury goods. Yeah. They put out their full-year results on Friday before the market opened. Profit pretty much in line, 2 billion euros they made in profit. But what really scared me was that their April sales number was down 15%. And going forward, they're looking for fairly difficult outlook, you know, so their guidance going for the next year is pretty bad as well. I think things will continue to be bad until September. So, you know, we own the share. And then when a company does that, you kind of, it's a bit of a shock, let's be honest.
Well, I heard Edward Zuma was thrilled by this.
Who?
Edward Zuma. He was thrilled by this downturn in the stocks.
One of the many sons.
Oh.
Because you know him and Johan Rupert aren't exactly friends.
Oh, no, I didn't. Oh, thanks. Oh, I see. Oh, maybe he was selling down then. That's what it was. He actually owned and then he sold. So the market opened 5%. Well, Richemont opened 5% lower at market open. So, of course, I sold my shares. But then guess what happened? The share bounced. So it looked like I'd made a mistake.
Oh,
I know.
It was bigger for you to accept that, Anthea.
But no, I was vindicated because the share closed almost 5.5% down. So it closed at about 92 Rand something from 97.75 it was before that.
Okay.
Yeah. So just, I think the thing with Richemont, so we owned it, we got out of it. I think there'll be another chance to get into it at a lower price in the next 6 months. So we need to watch it. I mean, I'm a bit annoyed that I had to sell out on Friday. But just, these things happen.
Very basic question along with this. I've always wondered it, but now's the time to ask it. What's the minimum time you'd like to hold a share?
No, there is no minimum. You can trade intraday. Yeah, so you can buy in the morning and sell in the afternoon and make a profit.
Okay.
And a lot of people do that, actually. So a lot of traders, intraday traders, we call them scalpers, actually.
Funny. That's not a good connotation.
Yeah, I was about to say, they were obviously going to get a dubious nickname.
Yeah. So these are exactly the guys who would be buying kind of in the morning when the share's down 5% and then selling in the afternoon, hoping that it bounces higher by afternoon. Scalpers or intraday traders. And then Tongaat put out a trading statement on Friday as well. They report results next week, Monday, the 30th. Headline earnings expected to be down 18% year on year. The big thing here is sugar profits was down 85% year on year. I was expecting it to be down about 40. So that's huge. But you know that Tongaat is, the sugar used to be a sugar business, but we don't hold it for the sugar play. So sugar now makes up about 7% of operating profit in Tongaat. And what we're holding it for is the property they own.
Right.
And we're waiting for them to sell this big, fantastic parcel of land called Umhlanga Ridge.
As in sugarcane fields.
Yes, which they're now turning into kind of developable land. So you can now go and build on it. So they've tilled the soil, they've taken the crops off and made it buildable, I guess is the word.
Yeah, because that whole north coast is it's quite something. There's ranging sugar fields. It's beautiful. And they all have great elevation as well. And if, you know, sugar kills you as well, Anthea, and we all know this, so maybe property is the more viable solution. Less people die, better profit on the share.
There we go. So operating profit from the land did increase by 35% year on year. They did sell 121 hectares of developable land, which equates to about just over 9 million rand per hectare, which is slightly below the 12.6 I was looking for. It's not the big parcel of land we want, so we'll see what they say next week, Monday. I think they still haven't found a buyer for the real kind of prime property. So that's what it is. You know, we're just kind of holding on for them to do that. It's a really difficult share. It's one that I bought at, I think, 129 Rand. It went all the way down to 85. It's now 112. So I'm kind of still holding on to it.
All right.
See what happens there. And then here's a story that's just boring. I mean, MTN. I'm so sick of this.
Okay.
Aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, Mub sold her MTN shares ages ago. So she's out of the whole mix.
Yeah, so it looks like Nigeria's edging closer to making a decision about the fine. They've now said to the South African management team, we can't talk to you anymore. We're now investigating and possibly we'll make a decision. You know, it started off at $5.2 billion. Dollars. Then they said it might be $3.9 billion. MTN said we'll pay $1.5 billion in staggered payments and we'll buy some of your sovereign debt. I'm over it. The share's down 30% since this whole fine drama.
It sounds it sounds like a horrible breakup because there's been nothing solid. It doesn't seem like it's ever going to become an amicable decision at the end of it.
Yeah. And it just goes on. You can have the CDs, but I want the couch. It's like, that's rubbish.
So what do you reckon is going to be the bottom line here? I mean, are we even so far away from that it's even difficult to speculate on it?
I think Nigeria will want as close to their $4 billion as possible. MTN, obviously, if it is $4 billion, MTN will fight it. So it'll continue on. It'll become a big court case. MTN will end up spending more money in legal fees. So the only people who win really are the lawyers.
Which is often the case with all these disputes.
Exactly.
Is it?
That is true.
And okay, so if it does get to the $4 billion mark or anything like that, what do you reckon share wise is going to happen? Or has the share price managed to somehow stay quite stable throughout this?
So since the fine was announced, the share's down 30%, and it's been months since, 6 months almost now, right? Yeah. And the share's kind of been up and down a little bit, not much. If the fine is $4 billion, I think the share will come off even further. If it's 1.5, I think the share might bounce a little bit. But like, it's so binary. Why take the chance? And you just don't know what's going to happen. There's no indication of which way it's going to go. Mm. So I am keen to stay away from this still much longer.
Yeah, that would make sense. Now, I mentioned at the start of the show something that really annoyed me over the weekend was this whole Uber thing and these meter taxi people. You've got something here about transaction capital?
Yeah. So transaction capital is an asset-backed lender. So in other words, they will lend money if you have an asset you need to finance, so a house or a car or that sort of thing.
Okay.
So not your credit cards, not your personal loans, that sort of thing, you know, not mm-hmm. shopping loans, none of that nonsense. They also own a business called SA Taxi. And what SA Taxi have recently done is launched Zebra Cabs. I don't know if you've seen it.
I have seen them, but are they just not fancy meter taxis?
Well, actually, they've now got an app. So, and actually, it looks exactly like the Uber app.
Right.
The difference, though, with Zebra Cabs is that they're about R4 per kilometer more than Uber. So the average Uber is R6 a kilometer and their Zebra Cabs is R10. But management have said they're not competing against Uber.
I was about to say, I've really lost on Zebra. R10 as opposed to six.
Well, they don't do this thing with the multiplier effect, which Uber does. So okay. In very busy periods, Uber can be 1.5 or 2 times more expensive, and Zebra doesn't do that.
Right.
So they could potentially be cheaper at some stages. But they're not targeting you and me. They're more targeting kind of the airport, the book taxi, the corporate taxis, that sort of thing. Yeah.
So people who don't actually have their own money being thrown on the table here. It's like, oh, we'll put it to expenses. Let's get a Zebra.
There we go. There's always that corporate thing, right? The interesting thing about this is that Zebra Cab drivers actually qualify to be UberX drivers because they have the same criteria for their cars. So they could switch over either way. And what SA Taxi or Transaction Capital are trying to do is to consolidate the taxi industry. So they've identified, I think it was 3,000 of these metered taxis, you know, think Mercedes E-Class, old kind of Mercedes sitting at the airport waiting, that sort of thing.
Old smelly leather.
Yeah.
With like broken dreams in the back seat, yeah.
And what they're going to do is approach these guys and say, well, we will finance a new Toyota Corolla, which qualifies as a Zebra Cab and an Uber X.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. And then they'll also install telematics, which is the point of sale, point of sale billing system, basically. Yeah. They'll provide a call center for pre-bookings, and of course, then they'll give them the app.
See, that's better. Again, it's like, find a better way don't resort to violence and just being an idiot. This is much better.
Yeah.
This is actually kind of encouraging. We did have a couple of messages. I just want to get to them now rather than let them go later. Just wrestle this microphone like an anaconda.
Wow.
Like J-Lo in that really bad movie. Re-Uber, Andrew says, it's ridiculous in South Africa, businesses are lazy to adapt and progress is slow. You don't see Wimpy or Steers burning down the Burger King stores. They don't adapt their business in to attract clients. And in Durban, the rapid bus transit system is frozen mid-construction because taxi drivers refuse to accept business innovation and they won't adapt their ancient business to improve things. That's even more dickhead, because that rapid bus transit system, that's very much getting the masses to work. And this country is not going to go anywhere unless everyone is working. Avishkar says that people don't like meter taxis because they're ridiculous fares.
Yeah.
Good point. What's even more ridiculous is the cost of the taxi license for the authorities. From the authorities. That could be a root cause to all of this. So there's a couple of things at play here. The rapid bus transit system as well, mid-construction. I had no idea about that. That's terrible.
It's very disappointing, eh?
Yeah. What's happening? Is there a petrol price coming up?
Potentially, yes.
Because it's been a while since we've been... bent over the good old barrel around that one.
Yeah, I was just going to say, because this is exactly what we need, is, you know, to be paying more money for something else.
Yeah, just adds. So it looks like petrol's going to go up 12%, but it could have been 42% had it not been for the stronger rand in April. So I'm just saying.
42%.
42 cents, sorry. Oh, did I say percent? Yes. Sorry, yeah, cents.
Yes, we're about to lose our breakfast.
It's almost.
No wonder you looked at me. And so that was kind of a good thing, but just be aware that in May, the rand has already declined by 10%. So I think the next one will be another big increase. And, you know, oil's now trading closer to $50 a barrel. So there you go.
This is like the Oscars, Anthony. You're actually being tuned out today.
I was wondering.
This hasn't happened before. What's this? Thanks, Anthea. Catch you back tomorrow.
Great. Thanks very much, guys.
This is such a good song.
I do like it in a different language.
Oh, there's a bit of English in here as well.
That's right. Treat her right.
Treat her right. We're treating you right today. We're getting into the second hour of news with my buddy Malloy. There's no distractions today. Mubs is going to be on absolute best with the news. Gareth will not be joining us today, I don't think. I think he's probably just going to check into his hotel, have a mimosa, or whatever they have in San Francisco.
Yeah, the last bit of contact we had with him was yesterday afternoon in our little WhatsApp group, and he had just touched down in Hoop Holland.
All right, yeah.
So, yeah.
Hoop Holland. Now, Mubs, I've got a special treat for you this morning.
Thanks.
Seeing as Sia isn't here, now Sia's also away. He's in the KZN. I need someone to get excited about this. There's the new Adele song.
Okay.
That's Adele. She's really good at music. That's not a computer.
Yes, yes, yes.
And she's got a new song. It's called Send My Love, in brackets, to your new lover. Very romantically tumultuous, this woman, I've got to say.
She does, you know, that's basically her thing. That's what she does. She sings about romance or heartbreak.
Yeah, so here she is. Send My Love, the latest from Adele. And we'll be back with the news. CliffCentral.com.